Hi, I'm the Moroccan Angel, and I'm here to help others set things right with their maker. So, what is a miracle? A miracle is an event that appears inexplicable by the laws of nature. It's an event that is contrary to the established laws of nature and attributed to a supernatural cause. It's an extraordinary occurrence that surpasses all known human powers or natural forces. It's considered to be supernatural. Chemotherapy is not supernatural. In the true sense of the word miracle, it is not a miracle. People can say, oh, it's a medical miracle breakthrough. But this just explains and confirms that it's within the bounds of human power. Can men bring someone back from the dead? Yes, somewhat. But first, it depends on the will of the giver of life. And secondly, the time frame. There's a specific limited amount of time in which another human can use CPR or operate on someone to influence the outcome of an event, according to the will of the Creator. Now, what can't a man do? Well, man cannot by his own power, will, or knowledge restore life to a dead body in the grave, 4 days to be exact. He cannot do it. This would be considered a miracle. It defies the laws of nature. And what are the laws of nature? The natural established laws by the God of Israel, the Eternal One. So what's something else a man can't do? He can't regrow a missing limb. This, yes, is contrary to the natural law as it pertains to the human body. To see such a thing would be extraordinary. I'll bet you've never seen it done. I'll go as far as to say I'll bet no one in your family or anyone you know have ever personally seen it done. You know, an amputee's missing limb restored, or a dead person's life restored from the grave after 3 or 4 days? Okay, so I was reading this story about a little girl named Olive Hyland-Ganthal. I believe I'm saying that right. Hyland-Ganthal. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, but she was a 2-year-old and she just stopped breathing on December 14th, 2019. However, the very interesting thing about this story is that her mother, Callie, is a member of the Bethel Music Worship Team, and she's also a worship pastor for Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. So Callie posted on her social media site her desire for support when her daughter died, and within a few hours after posting, there were roughly 3,000 posts, and there was even $50,000 raised on a GoFundMe page. Now, Bethel hosted a prayer service as well, declaring resurrection of life for this little girl, with hundreds of attendees. It is noted that the large crowd raised their hands, declaring, "All hail to Jesus." This crowd was on fire. Their faith was joined hand in hand, and as accounted, the pastor declared, "We are not mourning, but expecting a move of the Spirit in such a measure to wake a child from her sleep." Now, interestingly, this particular church has a quote-unquote school of supernatural ministry that quote-unquote trains students in faith healing and prophecy. Now, despite all of this, her daughter Olive was buried on December 28, 2019, 6 days after her death. Craig Keener, which is a professor of biblical studies at Asbury Theological Seminary. He stated that the Bible gives resources for being positive, but it also gives resources for being realistic about the world in which we live. Imagine that, as if Jesus lived in a fantasy world. A Bible professor. Did people not die in Jesus' day? Shokeli's faith and belief in the words and promises of Jesus be considered as just being positive? Another professing Christian, Wade Mullen, cautioned that attempted resurrections are often associated with cults. Now, why is that? Another professing Christian, professing to believe in the power of Jesus, but when seeing fellow professing Christians attempt to carry out or walk in the steps as Jesus walked, his response is, "Watch out, it's a cult." Now, some believe that this incident of prayer and faith was reminiscent of a previous event at the church where two years ago, another two-year-old child was really sick. Child of another worship member, Joel Taylor. Now, his two-year-old boy was airlifted to a hospital with a serious E. coli infection, and everyone fervently prayed for him, and the boy was recovered. Well, the church believed it was partially because of a song they wrote and recorded, a worship anthem, Raise a Hallelujah. All right, let's get this on the table. You know, there was also another post, and it said, it was sad, it said, "Oh, live, Elaine." And in this post, it states, "Your name means victorious awakening, and that's what we are believing for in Jesus' name. Talitha cum, little girl. Wake up from the sleep of death. Arise, sweet girl, and walk in your purpose. God's not done with you yet. He's only begun." Now, I want to be clear about something. I am not making light in any way concerning the death of this precious baby, nor the grief her parents feel at the loss of her. Sometimes pain brings about an awakening. Now let's look at something that sets the tone for this whole scene, and that's the main character, Jesus. Let's go to the scriptures. What did he say? Well, everyone who's professing to be a Christian, a quote-unquote follower of Christ, not only should be well aware of what he said, but believe it to the death. Otherwise, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're pretending. You're being a hypocrite. Because hypocrites proclaim to be something that they're not. If you're professing to be a Christian, you're in part stating that you have the Spirit of Christ when you actually don't. That's hypocrisy. Now we're going to look at two scripture passages. And the first one is John 14, verses 10 through 12. And I would like to strongly encourage you to look at these with me, along with me in your Bible, because I want you to see with your own eyes what I'm reading to you. It's important to know the facts behind what you believe. I'm reading from the King James Version, and it states, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father," Jesus is speaking, "and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Keep note of that. Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Keep note of that. Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, What were the works that Jesus did among the people? He healed. Jesus healed. This was the work and the proof that he was sent by God. And we see this in John 5 and 36, John 14, 10, John 10 and 38. And we see it throughout the Gospels that he healed people. And there are deceptive pastors and church leaders who state that his works were speaking a good sermon, or his works were any type of excuse other than what's actually written within the scriptures to explain away their lack of manifestation of Jesus' spirit within them. The second passage that we're going to look at is John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. And it reads, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So let's make this applicable. Jesus said that those who are truly his disciples will do what he did. Well, in Mark 5, verses 21 through 42 or 43, when the little girl died, what did Jesus do? What did he do? Talk it to me. So you have this situation where a little girl died, and Jesus was called to the scene. And then 2,000 years later, you have a situation where a little precious girl died yet again, and there are those who claim to have the Spirit of Christ. So you see the work that he did, and Jesus said those who are his true disciples will do what he did. So the New Testament scriptures state what he did. What did he do? He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Talitha cum," or "Talitha cumi." And the scriptures state straight away the damsel arose and walked. She was 12 years old. Well, did they do that? The mother, Callie, and the thousands of other professing Christians at Bethel, did they declare for this baby to get up? Yes, they did. Did she get up? No, she didn't. So what's the next promise? Whatever you ask for, whatever you ask in my name, that thing will I do. Jesus made this promise, and it's reiterated in the very next verse, verse 14. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Why will he do it? So that the Father will be glorified in the Son. So let's get this clear. If I said to you, "Whatever you ask me to do, anything in my name, I will do it, because it makes me happy to do it, and it brings a good report to my Father." Whatever it is, look at me, hear what I'm saying. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. You just ask it and I'll do it, I promise. And a week goes by and you say, "Hey Mika, my car..." No, let's panic this. You're like, "Mika, my car went off the road and I'm about to drown. I need your help. Please, please." I believed you when you said to just ask. You said, "Ask you anything and you'll do it. Please, I really need you right now." And I say to you, "No, not right now. I'm eating." Or worse, I don't answer you at all. Would you say I kept my promise? No, absolutely not. Would you make excuses for me? Well, I'd hope not. I wouldn't do that to you, though. I wouldn't promise to do whatever you wanted me to do, because A girl has her limits. Well, how much more should you hold your God Jesus to his word? He said, whatever it is, he will do it. And so oftentimes what I see is when professing Christians don't see this fulfilled, they'll say, well, maybe it wasn't his will. What? It wasn't his will to do what he promised? Or they'll say, keep believing, or keep declaring it, or keep hoping. Until when? The right doctor comes along or you die? That's not in the New Testament. Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. Every single one. Every single one. It was his will. Because the reason he came was to restore life. Because sin destroys life. And the New Testament teaches that he came to restore life. And healing was a manifestation of this. A manifestation of his mission. Well, let's see. Did they ask Jesus for little Olive's life to be restored to her? To her little lifeless body? As Martha wept, Lord Jesus, I know this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. When she spoke of Lazarus. Despite the urgent prayers of thousands of professing Christians requesting that life be restored to this little precious girl, Olive, there was nothing. Why? You want the biblical answer? Because he wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there. Well, how do I know? How do I know? Because the New Testament is clear on this. It's quite simple. Those who actually have the Spirit of Jesus do what Jesus did. This is what's written. This is the ink of Scripture. Why do they do what Jesus did? Because it is his actual Spirit manifesting through that individual. If you are not seeing the biblical supernatural power of Jesus manifested through you or those around you professing to be Christians, you are walking among the deceived. It is not biblical supernatural power to get chemotherapy, to smoke weed for your nerves or broken back. It is not biblical supernatural power and deliverance to pop pills for depression, anxiety, or panic attacks, calling on Jesus while possessed and addicted to drugs, alcohol, and perverted sex. What are you going to tell me? That I'm wrong? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the scriptures are very, very clear. Let's read through it together. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Do you hear it? Those who deny the supernatural power of Christ, professing to be Christians, professing Christians now. Get away! It's clearly written. They don't have his Spirit. They are deceived. You can't quote-unquote train someone to have the Spirit of Jesus You can teach them how to deceive others into believing they have a spirit, but you can't train someone to have supernatural power. It's either there or it's not. But you know the truly fascinating thing about this whole thing is? Jesus answers to the God of Israel, and he is the one who issued the judgment of the physical death of the body. Death and life are in the hands of the Eternal One alone. Now you ask yourself, why haven't you seen one professing Christian overturn his judgment? This is the Moroccan Angel. Do what is right. Always. It matters.